What's up, guys? We're back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And guys, it is Fight Week, UFC 300.
A Shot of Lion production.
You know, I just feel like right now UFC is just breaking the bank every time. It's just blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster. And here we go again. UFC 300, what everybody has just been waiting for. The build-up has been exciting. It's been, I mean, look at the freaking card. Look at that damn card. Yeah. Henry, I mean, what you know it's a card when you got two former champions opening up the freaking prelims?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. First fight, Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. I mean, these are two former champs that, you know, at one point in their career, I mean, they're in the top 10 pound for pound list.
100%.
You know, Cody, obviously, you know, having you know, winning the belt, taking it from Dominick Cruz. And obviously, Davison Figueiredo, you know, beating Joseph Benavidez, who had fought for the title for like four different occasions. I mean, what comes to mind right now is, you know, obviously two former champs, but obviously the fact of what you just said, this is the fight that's starting off the fight card is absolutely ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but I mean, I almost kind of feel like this is a little disrespectful for these guys to be the first fight of the night, though.
Yeah, but you gotta put yourself in Dana White's shoes.
I understand.
I think he's doing this.
First fight on the pay-per-view.
Yeah,
but I think
he's doing this really to get people to really invest in on the whole fight card. You know what I'm saying? Because honestly, this should be the first fight. If not, maybe the co to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, this should definitely be, I think, maybe first fight of the pay-per-view. Because both guys, you know Cody. Cody is like, I compare Cody to, he can be turned into an angry bull.
Yeah.
You touch Cody in the wrong spot, or you do something in there to Cody in the wrong spot, he turns into an angry bull to where, in his mind, he believes his right hand can knock out a rhino, that right hand. So he doesn't care. He's going to stand in there. He's going to swing. Yeah. And so for a fight like that, a fighter like that, that is such a great, just a fun fighter, first fight of the night. Like, let's look at that prelim. Let's look at that whole preliminary card. Okay. Really? You're going to put them over...
But that's what I'm saying. None of this, Kamaru, makes sense. But the fact that they just want to start off with the bang, that's it. There's no way Bobby Miller and Jalen Turner, Renato, like, there's no way these... they want to start off with the bang.
Yeah, you're right. But these are all banging fights, though. If you look at Jim Miller and Bobby Green, that's a fight. That's a fantastic fight right there. Veterans in the game, got lots and lots of experiences. That's a freaking fun fight right there. But I still would rather put those two champions above this one. But this is still a banging fight. Bobby Green and Jim Miller is a banging fight.
But let's go back down to the Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt fight. I mean, this fight right here, Kamaru, I mean, you have a guy, and I train with Davison Figueiredo. I mean, obviously, he actually... I called him Figueroa.
You train with the dude. You don't even. You can't say his name.
But anyhow, Davison Figueiredo. He's got power in his hands, man. He's a one hitter quitter type of guy, and not just that, but his wrestling entries have gone so much better. He has great jujitsu, great back control. He either tends to knock people out, or he likes to submit. And now he's going up against a guy like Cody Garbrandt. A guy like Cody Garbrandt, as you said before, if you can tame the bull and if you can make him tactical and technical, he's very, very dangerous. But if he does get emotional, he starts swinging like crazy, as we saw in the past, Kamaru, Cody Garbrandt does get a little chinny.
He does. I agree with you. But I like the way he's been fighting now. You know, he's kind of just starting to find his footing again, and he's starting to find his groove to where he can actually flow through a whole fight and not get sucked into that mental battle of we got to slug it out. Because, you know, when you're in there and the fans start chanting your name, you know, you start turning into the entertainer. But when you start turning into the entertainer, you forget that, hey, I'm trying to go home with two checks here. So I like this fight. Banging fight. Both got power. It's gonna be a great opener, and they're gonna be done early too. So they can come back and watch the rest of the.
You would think that the UFC's gonna send their asses back home, send them back to the hotel, so it's not as fun for them. But anyhow, moving on, Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. I tell you what, man, I will say this. I mean, obviously, that guy Lee, man, 15 losses and 17 losses to Jim Miller. Like there comes a point where you have to compete, and if you have X amount of fights in the UFC, like a guy like Jim Miller, you gotta start giving him nothing but dogs, dude. Like you cannot
give him.
You just cannot, man.
Why would you give him nothing but dogs? Why would you start giving him dogs?
Because that's a lot of fights, Kamaru.
So you're trying to just get him out of there?
Well, he either has it or you don't.
He's shown that he still has it. He's still able to take that much fights, that much experience, and he's still able to take on these young guys. And get through them. Jim, I like it. I like the matchup. I think both guys are veterans. Both guys have lots and lots of fights. I like it. I don't see it. Why. There's no need to give him dogs. Jim Miller's not out there saying, give me the title. I want the title. He's not saying that. So why are we trying to throw him into Islam Makhachev or Armin Sarukian or Justin Gaethje?
Because he has over 30 some fights in the UFC. And you can't just be giving him newcomers.
That's bully shit.
Nah, right there, hell no, no. Nah. That's bully shit. I stick to it. But whatever, man. Bobby Green, on the other hand, that motherfucker has fought everybody, Kamaru. From Islam Makhachev asking for Khabib. I mean, this dude has fought the who's, but I think stylistically, if Jim Miller cannot get his grappling going, I just feel like a guy like Bobby Green's got power in his hands, and I can see Bobby Green just having a little more grit on the feet. So for that reason, Kamaru, I got to go with Bobby Green.
I love Bobby Green too, but I don't know. I think that's going to be a very interesting fight because of the grappling of Jim Miller. I think that's going to be a very, very interesting fight. So
we could agree to disagree.
We'll see how I feel. We'll see how I feel. We might do another prediction coming up closer. We'll see how I feel.
Dude, we got to start putting up bets here. Come on. We got to start making this shit fun.
If we put bets up here, you're way behind. Come on. In Miami, hello, you are way behind. Come on. But we're going to slot to this other fight. Jessica Andrade taking on Marina Rodriguez. I like both fighters. I'm a fan of both fighters. I just like everything about both. They're both very, very fierce women inside that octagon, but they're super sweet outside the octagon. So,
how do you break it down, Kamaru? How do you break down this fight?
Well, it ain't gonna be no grappling, that's for sure. Marina is long. She keeps everything long. She probably has the best Muay Thai. She's probably the best female Muay Thai specialist in the UFC.
Really?
Yes.
Over Israel.
Over who?
Over Israel Adesanya.
Israel, I said female. Jeez. Jesus. I said female and Muay Thai. Israel is a Thai boxer. I believe that's a little different. But Marina is amazing. I mean, the way that she fights, she keeps everybody at the edge of her shots. And if she's able to get that clinch, she's nasty in that clinch. But Jessica Andrade, bro, she's a tank. And I respectfully, if I had to compare the fighting style of Jessica Andrade, I would say she's the female John Lineker.
Yeah.
Remember John Lineker?
Yeah, John Lineker. Yeah, go to the body, up top.
She fights just like that. Holds her hands low. She swings heavy hooks. She touches that body, touches that head, and she has incredible power too. Because a female that's able to touch another female and put it down, that's one thing about her.
Yeah, 100%. But I also think sometimes it's hit or miss with her. Like if you're able to fight Jessica Andrade and bring in that grappling or bring the pressure to and get her to go backwards, she doesn't fight the same. But that being said, Marina is actually really good. As you said, she's super long. She's a gritty fighter and she could take a hit. I don't believe she's ever been stopped. And I think there's a certain gritness to her. I know she's dedicated. I mean, this is a battle of Brazil. These are battle of two Brazilian warriors. I mean, people don't consider like being 5'1" in comparison to 5'6". It's hard to fight shorter people. It's like, it really is, man. Like, this is the reason why, like, myself, guys like Alexander Volkanovski have been very problematic, because if you do want to take them down, notice how much you have to level change to get, you know, to get underneath the hips. So that being said, it's a great fight. I know both of them. Let the best woman win. But if there's an edge that I'd probably kind of give the fight to, I want to give the fight to Jessica Andrade. But tactically, if there's anybody that could really make that adjustment, it is Marina.
Great fight. Let's move on to the next fight. We've got Jalen Turner, the Tarantula, taking on Renato Moicano. Good fight. I just think I like both guys. I really do like both guys, but I just think Jalen Turner is when you put in so much time and then you start to just kind of, because you know that time only builds confidence in you. And I think Jalen Turner's finding it. He's starting to find it. He believes he's a seasoned fighter. And I like everything that he has to offer in the game right now. Moicano, yeah, too, is a tough dude, but, you know, he has been stopped. I have seen some, a little bit of fluctuation.
Deterioration.
Yeah, a little bit. But he's still a dog, and I like him. That's another fun fight. It's an incredible fight. But I think Jalen Turner right now is a streaky, younger.
If I could say something about Jalen Turner, he reminds me a lot of John Jones, but he doesn't, if he was 100%, if he had that killer mentality of more of that little piece that's missing, this dude could become another version of John Jones. You know what I'm saying? And the only reason why I say that is because I saw a lot of his fights, and he tends to kind of, like, once shit starts getting tougher, it's like he becomes a different fighter. I go back and I watch that fight with the Australian guy. Dan Hooker. You know what I'm saying? Winning that whole fight, doing everything right, and all of a sudden, there's something in there. But Renato Moicano, like, he's been through the grind. Like, watching him fight against a guy like Drew Dober, obviously he used the wrestling. Jalen Turner comes from that background of wrestling, so I don't think he's gonna, good luck trying to take that dude down. And if you do, this dude's gonna get up. 6'3", 155 pounds. That's absolutely crazy. I want to say he's the biggest guy at 155 pounds. But that being said, I can see Jalen Turner winning this fight and actually winning by finish.
I can see it. Let's slide over to the next one. Now we are in the prelims. That was early prelims. Shiza! Yes. Wow. Going into the prelims, first fight is my man Sadiq Yusuf.
Oh, he's the Nigerian. Is the Nigerian going to stick with Nigerian?
What? What? You can have a Nigerian out there with no arms, and I'm still rooting for him.
Hey.
We got Sadiq Yusuf taking on Diego Lopez. This is a fun fight. Diego Lopez, relatively new in the UFC. He was the guy that got that short notice fight in there when he went in there with who did he fight? Short notice.
It was the Russian.
Ivloyev, yeah. First fight in the UFC and gave him a tough fight. It wasn't easy. He put him in danger a few times. And after that, he's just been rolling. Just stopping dudes first round. So that's a great fight, I think.
I don't know enough about
Sadiq.
Sadiq is
he's gonna come forward.
Yeah.
Does he have
wrestling? Boxing.
He's got wrestling, but he doesn't utilize it that much, which is something that I would love to pour into him.
How's
to
his make him a man.
Got good conditioning, but he's gonna bang. He had that banger with Edson Barbosa not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
But he's
how do you do?
I think he ended up losing a decision. But he's a banger.
It was a five-rounder?
Five-rounder.
Oh.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man. When you look at that experience, dude, once you go five rounds against a guy like Barbosa and you're able to, if he was able to hang in there, I didn't see that fight, but if he was able to hang in there on the feet, then that fight changes a little bit because obviously, you know, you have Diego Lopez who's been knocking people out. He's got slick submissions.
Yeah.
But what happens when you get another guy who's young, just like you, has a little bit of that wrestling defense, and is also durable.
Did you see the numbers on that fight? How did he lose that fight? Oh, I guess look at that. Barbosa took him down 3 times. When you turn Barbosa into a takedown artist, I'm trying to recall the fight, but he landed more, but he was taken down a bit more. And even, how did he lose his fight?
God, I forget Barbosa went down a featherweight. That's crazy, dude. I don't know how these dudes make it, but either way, man, if I, where am I leaning towards a little bit more? I know the UFC's trying to push Lopez. Is he ready for a tough combat?
Fight was evil. What do you mean, is he ready for tough competition?
No, you're right. You're right. The same time, this guy, the Russian, Ivlov, if I'm pronouncing it right.
Ivloev, yeah.
Ivloev, Davai, he's Movzar.
Movzar, yes.
He doesn't, the majority of all his fights are all decision, bro. He doesn't have that knockout
but he's
power.
That's true, but he's dominating these guys.
Look at that, decision.
That's true, you're right, but he's dominating these guys. I mean, he's not taking too much damage, and he's dominating these guys. I do agree with you. You know, it's a lot tougher to be a star if you're not finishing guys.
Yeah. So, well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm gonna play the devil's advocate. I'm gonna go Diego Lopez, man. I think.
I mean, look at his experience too, though.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of fights.
Yeah, he's got 30 fights. He's got more fights than me and you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
All right, let's slide up to the next fight. Let's try to run through these. Oh wow. I mean, you got Kayla Harrison taking on Holly Holm. I mean, this is a pay-per-view fight. This is a pay-per-view main card fight. That just shows you how crazy this card is. Kayla Harrison making her debut in the UFC. I mean, she's done it all. She's the only quadruple C in the game.
Don't say that. No!
Got two Olympic championships. And I believe 2 PFL tournament championship as well.
But I could also tell you though something too, Kamaru, that you have to keep in mind. Again, man, we're all promoted by Ali.
What?
And this is something that a girl like Holly Holm, she's a boxing world champ, Muay Thai world champ, UFC world champ, and she's already fought people who have tried to take her down, like a Ronda Rousey. I do believe if Kayla does have good entries, she would be able to take down a girl like Holly Holm, but you cannot. I'm not counting Holly Holm out, dude, on this, because she's a veteran, bro. And like you said before, once you find the UFC, you're seeing all these different celebrities. You're seeing how everything is just a little bit different than PFL, than Bellator, 100%. Than a lot of these things. Shit does change.
100%. I think you're absolutely right. Holly Holm does know how to fight. Fighters like this.
Distance. She's gonna move.
She moves a tremendous amount. She's always moving, and she knows how to throw her combination and get out of the way. But I will tell you, it's a lot different. Kayla Harrison is not Ronda Rousey. Kayla Harrison is a different fighter than Ronda Rousey. Kayla Harrison will stand a strike if she has to. But obviously, she's gonna choose the path of least resistance. But she will strike with you if she has to. I would tell you this. I do believe Kayla Harrison is stronger. I do believe Kayla Harrison is Olympic champion. And there's multiple championships between these girls. Holly has boxing world titles. Kayla has
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Fame. Kayla has. So the thing is, the question is, which titles are more important and more suitable for winning a UFC mixed martial arts fight? Judo Olympic Championship medals and MMA World Championship medals. Yes, it's a different promotion.
Yeah.
Championships or boxing world championships and the first kick heard around the world. Mine was the second, but that was the first. the one against me was the second, but hers was the first kick heard around the world.
God, you're a good sport. But you gotta think about this too, Kamaru.
Yeah.
Kayla Harrison is going down to 135 pounds. Yes. And she she's still young. She's a lot younger than Holly Holm. I mean, Holly Holm is 9 years older than Kayla Harrison, but she's also dropping that weight. This girl's a veteran, dude. Holly Holm wants that title again. The winner of this fight is more likely to become the next UFC champion.
I agree.
So I wouldn't necessarily count out Holly Holmes just because there's a lot of things. There's the UFC. There's going down an extra 5 pounds. Or I think wasn't she 55 in PFL?
55, yes.
55. That's 20 pounds, Kamaru.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't think that stuff's gonna play an effect, dude, then fuck, man. I want to know who I want to know she's that secret juice or something, but. You gotta weigh everything out, man. You really do, man. I just don't think you can count either one of them out. But I will say this: this is a fight to watch. I don't want to pick a winner because I cannot pick somebody. I cannot go against Holly Holmes because she is a former world champ. She. When we doubted her against another judoka, who was, and I believe Holly Holmes. I believe at that time even Ronda was a lot better on her feet than a girl like Kayla Harrison. But Kayla Harrison. Whoa. Yeah, Kayla Harrison.
This is blasphemy.
Kayla Harrison with the grappling and the strength is better than Ronda Rousey. But yes, that being said,
she has two Olympic championships to prove
it. But that's grappling. We're talking about on the feet.
Yeah, but on the feet. Wait, did you just say that Ronda Rousey, who I do love, Ronda, was better than is better
on her
than
feet? Kayla. On her feet at that time.
Do you watch fights?
I do.
Jesus,
I do.
Respectfully,
you want to just watch a fight, dude.
Respectfully, Ronda. Respectfully, I don't. I just don't. I don't think. Respectfully, I don't think so. I do think what Ronda had to work with at that time. Ronda did a tremendous amount, a great amount with what she had to work with. But I do think Kayla Harrison is a bit levels above. I mean, that's the thing with the sport.
Okay, all right. So your prediction that Kamaru does Kayla Harrison.
We're gonna move on to the next fight here. That next fight, Kelvin Kattar taking off former bantamweight champion Aljamain Sterling.
Whoo! Yeah, I can tell you this right now, and I know where Aljamain's gonna take the fight. And this is where he's really good. He was able to take me down. He does it very, very well. He surprised me. Mm-hmm. Is against the cage. He's gonna hurry up. He's gonna push the pace on Kelvin Kattar, and he's gonna push him against the cage. Once he locks his hand, he's going to take him down. Now, can he keep him down? Could he take the back? Is Kelvin Kattar using?
Kattar's a wrestler. Well, was a wrestler.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys though too. Come on, when you fall in love with the hands a little bit too much, dude.
Kelvin Kattar can't bang on you. Pause. Yeah,
but I will say this: Kelvin Kattar does have hands, dude, and he's very slick. And he's very technical and tactical. But could a guy like Kelvin Kattar defend the shots of Aljamain Sterling and then take away once?
How was your water?
It was pound for pound.
What? Yeah. Hey, you see what we did there? Let me know. We'll be releasing these after the show. We'll have a link for you to, if you want to purchase some of these glasses, just let me know. And we'll send you guys some, but just something about the water just tastes bad.
Hold on, give that.
you gotta get.
That's funny. Yeah. But that being said, Kamaru, I don't know, man. I think if Kattar could literally use a distance, kind of big man him a little bit. If he can defend those first couple shots, because he's going to come, that's the only way of the victory for a guy like Aljamain.
Yeah.
Kelvin Kattar's got good hands, man. He's a slick
great
dude.
Great hands. And can we also talk about territory wars here? This is territory wars. I believe Kattar is from Boston. Is it Boston or New York?
And where'd Aljo's you park from the New car?
York. Aljo's from New York, and I believe Kelvin Kattar is from Boston or New Jersey or one of them, New England. Yeah. Boston.
Oh, that's his nickname, the Boston Finisher.
Yeah, so Boston taking on New York here. So let's see, you can't go back to your hood and not do your thing. So I like this. It's the New England cartel taking on Sarah Longo fight team here. So, I can't wait for that fight. That's an incredible fight too. And that's another fight with another former champion in it. I think that's 5 or 6 now fights.
Yeah.
Ooh, sliding up to the Yuri Prochazka taking on Alexander Rykic. A Rykic? Right kick.
Right kick. Is that what it is, guys? We're having technical difficulties.
Anyways.
Alexander Rakic.
Rakic. Yeah, like a rocket ship. Former champion in that light heavyweight division. And Rakic is trying to get to that title. So how do you see this fight, Henry?
Yeah, I think Rakic, he just had a really boring fight with somebody. Was it with Thiago Silva?
Damn.
There was somebody that was super boring. I was just like, man, Jesus.
Don't put him out there like that.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't, who was it? He lost to Blachowicz. He got KO'd. Guys, wow. I mean, I think, you know, win over Thiago Silva. Yeah, it was him. Against, yeah, that was one of the most boring fights I've ever seen in my life, dude. Yeah, I'm going with Jiří Procházka. I think Jiří Procházka he's a lot more dynamic. He's, you know, I've had a chance to coach him, had a chance to work with him firsthand. Like, he's a guy that you would be like, you know, you see guys at the club like doing techno. Yeah. Like, he's a techno fighter. Like, he just goes according to the rhythm. Like, he's really able to. You see the. Take your shirt off. Can you take your shirt off and do the. Who was
really?
It from White Chicks? Can you do a Tarani?
Relax. Relax. Jeez.
Anyhow, that being said, I just feel like, you know, a guy like Jiří Procházka, he's fought for the title. He's beaten some of the best guys. He fought tougher opponents. He beat Glover Teixeira. I just feel like he's just a lot more dynamic and he's a lot trickier with his movements, with his distance. And not just that, dude, this dude, he really is like a samurai. This dude would literally like sit in, you know, 20 below temperature waters, bro, and just like nothing. Like he goes into the lakes in freaking in the Czech Republic, dude.
But then cold tubs?
Probably. You want
that's pretty much what it is. It's a cold tub. But yeah, that is an incredible fight. I agree with you. I think Yuri's a bit more dynamic, and I think he's, you know, he might be able to find that finish. Now we're moving on to that main card. And now this is, I guess you can say, controversial. Should this card be on the main card? Should this fight be on the main card? Should it be on the main card? I actually kind of like it. I like what UFC is doing because, you know, when I was early on like ascending to the, you know, in that territory, the contender status to actually fight for the title, there was a piece of me that was salty about the fact that the UFC would not give me a push, would not build me like they were building these guys. You know, they would just throw me in there and say, all right, go fight this guy with experience, go fight that guy with experience. And yeah, it is what it is, you know. Like I said, it made me a better fighter. By the time I got to the title, I was able to just to do what I needed to do. And with a guy like Bo Nickel, they are actually building him the right way. The thing with him is you got to give him credit too. He's doing the appropriate thing with what he has to work with. He's going out there and he's finishing these guys. He's finishing them brutally to where they're highlights. UFC's building a reel for him right now, a highlight reel. And this kid is doing a good job with him. So I like what Dana is doing with him by not rushing him too fast. They're giving him game opponents. And I like it. I like it. And hey, you can't be salty, Henry, because these are the new representative of UFC wrestling. These are the new guys. We're no longer.
Somebody
those
has
guys.
To fucking do it. And you're right. You know what? Come on. When you put it that way, you're 100% right. And this is the new generation of guys coming out of Penn State and guys coming out of different universities.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you get a three-time NCAA champ, four-time finalist in Bo Nickel, Olympic alternate, who is right there, man, dude, that's just inspiring the next generation of wrestlers that probably won't get to the level of wrestling because wrestling's so freaking competitive that people are just going to, you know, suit to follow. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are looking to get in there. You know, you got a lot of his teammates. You got a lot of his teammates right now. You know, a bunch of four-time NCAA champs, they're looking to get in. So a lot of you guys who are fighting right now, you guys stay tuned because it's just about to get a whole lot harder. Either way, I got Bo Nickel, either first round knockout or first round submission.
Yeah, I think I like that. I like that.
But if he does get past this dude in the first round, you do got to test him a little bit. You do got to give him a top 20 fighter.
Top 20?
Yeah, top 20.
I mean, he's because that's one thing.
Wrestlers were different, Kamaru.
We're different, bro. I agree. And I think this is a good opponent to, I can't think of a Cody Brundage fight that comes to mind, but, you know, he's game. I'm not counting him completely out. He's game. He can punch. And at the same time, you know, he can grapple enough to potentially slow down Bo Nickel. What I want to see, though, is Bo Nickel get out of round one, get out of round two, and still be able to put on a complete fight and get that finish. That's what you really know. That's when you know that he's ready for that next level.
Yeah.
But it's a great fight. Move on. Wow. Wow.
All right, now we get to the nitty gritty. Come on. You got Charles Oliveira versus Armin Sarukian. Come on. Let me have it, Kush.
It's an incredible fight. But a piece of me feels like this is Charles versus Islam Makhachev.
Oof.
And Armin is a streaky guy. He's coming. He believes in himself because he puts in the work with the way that he finished Beneil Dariush. He's put the work in, and I think that Armin is tough enough to be able to go out there and stop or at least slow down Charles Oliveira. But Charles Oliveira, I mean, just a fun fighter, super fun fighter. former champion. If he does win this is a battle right now for who's going to be in line, in that short line, to fight for that lightweight title.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you're right, bro. I was there in that fight. I like Charles Oliveira, and I think he's done some amazing things. I did kind of him out against Beneil, but Armin's just a younger. He's a younger version of what you said of Islam Makhachev. He's very diverse. I mean, you saw that crazy knee how he knocked out Beneil Dariush. He has that chip on his shoulder of one going through that. I don't want to say controversial because I did feel like he did lose it, but it was a really close fight against Gamrot, and then obviously giving the toughest fight to Islam Makhachev till this day. He's too solid. He's short. He's a lot shorter than a guy like Charles Oliveira, but that also makes him problematic. He brings a wrestling game in there where he's not going to allow a guy like Charles Oliveira to just go in there and take him down and take his back. He's going to defend him, and I think he'll keep it basic. And I think he's not afraid to go in there, look for the takedowns, and then just ground and pound.
Oh yeah,
you know, not necessarily look for submissions, but literally ground and pound. If Armin Sarukian does win, I don't think it's going to be a really entertaining fight, but I could see him, you know, getting his hand raised at the end.
Charles. It has to be entertaining because of the way that Charles has figured out that
Charles is too dangerous, bro.
Yeah, Charles has figured out I have to swing my samurai sword every which way. It's just like a guy just walking towards you doing the sword like this.
You know what? I kind of want to see you and him fight. You remember that one Charles? Time you guys were like, you know, he was coming up. You're pound for pound. He was coming up. Remember you guys saw each other at the lobby?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can pull that up, dude.
No, that when he walked
by. I thought that shit was cool, man.
It was cool, but you were wearing red.
You had your little
magenta. That's what that called. The magenta two-piece. He looked like a killer walking up too. I ain't gonna hold you. That was hard. The way he walked in, he looked like me. The entrance looked like me. He looked like a straight-up killer. He walked in there with the red. You know, he had the glasses on with the suit.
Fire, bro.
It was fire. I got to give that to him. Look at that. And they had to slow down, too, the slow-mo. Yeah. I ain't want to dap him up, but... Yeah, I was like,
Woo! I love it.
I ain't want to.
You know, like, come
I did
on,
not
look,
want
man,
to.
A little bit. Fuck
but,
it.
Yeah, he was fighting my brother, Justin. So I did not want to, because my brother goes to war. We all go to war. So I did not want to. But hey, he's a killer. He's a great fighter. Great champion he was. And yeah, I'm excited for this fight. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, this could be the main event. Like if every other card was to kind of like flop out, like this could really be the main event.
There's so many main events.
But I believe because of Armin, because Armin really wants to get that title, really become that champion, I think he's going to have to play it safe. Who? I think he's going to play it safe. Armin Sarukin. You heard it here first.
Well, yeah, there's a path of least resistance in the fight. But with a guy like, that's what I'm saying, with a guy like Charles Oliveira, it's kamikaze. He's swinging the samurai sword like this.
And that's what makes him dangerous.
Yeah, so you can't be safe. You can't.
How does he swing the sword, Kamaru? You know they're about to.
Big pause. All right, going to the next fight. Going to the next fight. I mean, come on. You seen the meme of Dana White doing this?
Oh shit!
Yes. Whoa, take my money. Justin Gaethje is only in fighting Max Holloway. My man, my brother Justin Gaethje taking on. Do you know Max Holloway's name?
Blush, right?
No, that's his nickname. Do you know his first name?
No. Max Holloway, right?
Yeah, when I found out his first name, I was like, wow, really? And I was like, no wonder he got style like that. No wonder he be beating dudes up like that. You know Max's first name?
Jerome.
My man Jerome. I love it. This is an amazing fight. Obviously for the BMF belt. It's incredible. Incredible fight. I think fights like this, though, for a guy like Justin Gaethje, he really shines. But this is also an opportunity for Max Holloway to really reemerge himself as, because Max never really left. He just got a little quieter because he didn't have the title.
He's dangerous. So, dude,
this is an incredible fight. I honestly thought this should have been the main event for
300.
100%.
Yeah, you're right. Dude, you know what's funny? We're just talking about how this could be the main event, and then we go up a card.
Oh, yeah.
And Justin Gaethje, you're 100% right.
Yeah. I thought it should have been a main event for the card, but incredible fight for the BMF belt.
It's a five-rounder, Jesus.
Yeah.
I would hate to fight a dude like Gaethje. I'd do the same thing that could be, but whoop.
Yeah.
Diving in them legs.
Yep. Title fight. I believe that's a five-rounder. So, I can't wait to see that. I cannot wait to see that.
Yeah, well,
I love both guys. But
for sure, 100%. Obviously, you're super close with
Gaethje. That's my brother, man. Justin Gaethje.
Well, let me give my two cents on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I feel like Holloway, if Holloway could evade the leg kicks, it could change a lot, dude. And if he could evade the leg kicks and maybe even press Justin, then it could change things a little bit. But that being said, man, Justin Gaethje, he is a diesel, man. Justin Gaethje, he does come with elbows, fists, and knees. And you're talking about a real kamikaze out of everybody in the UFC. His name is Justin Gaethje. This dude's willing to die. He's willing to kill to win. He's willing to be killed to win. And I think that's what makes Justin Gaethje freaking dangerous and extremely special. And, you know, think about what he did once he fought Poirier again. He knocked him out. You know, he's lost to nothing but the best guys in the world. And I believe when it comes to rematches, Justin's different. I think he's learned from the past and he's able to bring in a different bag of tricks. And I could just see him him winning. I could see him hurting Max, dude, in some way. But kudos to Max. I mean, if Max is somehow able to fight Justin just different, dude, fuck. I just don't know Kamaru.
Yeah, it's an incredible fight. I mean, it's the thing about Justin too is a lot of people have seen his earlier fights. So because you know Justin is true what they say. Justin Gaethje is your favorite fighter. It's favorite fighter, and they see all that early chaos that he creates in there. But some people might be missing the advances, just the wealth of experience that Justin Gaethje is starting to put into the sport. He's not taking as much damage anymore. He's able to just move and put guys in the right spot to be able to just take them out of the fight. And then he builds and builds and builds. And this is something that, shout out to Trevor Whitman, one of the greatest things that Trevor does instill in us is how to build a fight. Building a fight. and not just going in there, because Justin before was just deep waters right away.
Yeah.
Justin builds a fight now.
Yeah.
And he catches you slipping, boom, puts you out.
No, I know. It's almost like now he's able, he knows how to pace himself. He understands his threshold. And then now he's adding more of that wrestling as he did with Michael Chandler.
Yeah.
So you definitely see the steps above and the improvements that he's kind of gone leaps and bounds, rather than him being that same guy in the beginning that fought Eddie Alvarez that went crazy. Yeah. The first time he fought Poirier, where he just gassed himself out.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? He's a different cat now. He's just fucking dangerous, man, to say the least. I would hate to fight him.
Yeah. Now we'll move on to the co-main event of the evening. You got the women's strawweight title. Wow. First time, I believe, in UFC history, two Chinese women fighting for the title. I mean, this is an incredible fight. You've got Zhang Weili taking on Yan Sanan. I hope I said that right, because I love her. I like both.
We're about to get canceled, Kamaru.
No,
you probably said a cuss word in Chinese.
You get canceled for that. No, it's
we're gonna listen to it right now. Look.
Xiao Yang.
Yang Shana. Damn.
Shana. You see, say okay. That too. But incredible. I mean, this is first time, and this is an incredible fight too. We all know that Zhang Weili is a ninja in there. But now she's taking on another ninja in Yan Xianan.
You're just missing the bow, Kamaru.
Everything about these girls is, as Mike Goldberg would say, virtually identical. Literally. Virtually identical. They're both 5'4", 5'5", 115 pounds, both 34 years of age, both reaches 63. Wow, look at that.
And they're both from China.
Both from China.
And they're both Chinese.
They're both killers in there too. Oh, I like this fight. I think this might be the toughest test for Zhang Weili, out of course, my girl, Rose Namajunas. I think this might be the toughest fight because you got another killer who wants it just as much as you want it. And this, you don't have the propeller of your country behind you to boost you, because she got that too. She got that too. And I think, Henry, I'm gonna just go on the record. I'm gonna be honest with you, okay?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Back in the day, when you was wrestling,
yeah,
you couldn't lose to another black dude. Can't. And every real champion, wrestling champion, know this. You know this. Can't lose. Because you go back to the hood, they're going to say, oh, you let Tyrone do you like that on the mat? Nah, you can't do that. You can't lose. You can't lose, because it's just something about it, because you come from the same circumstances I come from the same struggles I come from. I can't lose to you.
Yeah.
And I think these girls know that. Zhang Weili's not going to have that, okay, I got my country behind me, I have to do this for my country. No.
Yeah.
This you got to do this for yourself. Yeah, man.
It almost strips you a little bit more. It's like you lose, but like, you know what? Were you always the best in the world? You know what I'm saying? Kind of type of thing.
Were you always the best in the world from this
China.
Country?
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
Yeah, but breaking down that fight too, because I've worked with Weili. You know, we still talk to this day. She'll send me messages. She'll ask for like little things. Like, what do you think about this? Weili is fucking smart, man. She's a smart girl. She's only gone better. She recognizes distance more. She's able to tactically fight people different, as she fought Amanda Lemos, where she was able to use her wrestling. And because obviously Amanda Lemos, like, she has power, man. Yeah. Those Brazilians, they may not be as technical and tactical. I mean, but one thing they do have, they're all great strikers. And what did Zhang Weili do? out-wrestled her, controlled her on bottom, looked for submissions, like made her literally fight her B-side. I mean, Amanda knew, I mean, Zhang Weili went in there with a couple swords and the big giant sword that Amanda Lemos had, Weili was just able to kind of use those two little daggers, take her down, fillet her, and easily win that fight. So I think experience does matter here. Yeah. I do see a girl like Zhang Weili beating Yan, whether it's through the wrestling side or the striking side. I think anywhere and everywhere, Zhang Weili is just better. And a victory over Yan in this fight, I think she's ready to move up. I think she's ready to move up to 125 pounds. And I think she should be granted the winner of Alexa Grasso and Valentina Shevchenko.
I like that. I do like that. I really do like that. But there comes a time where a champion is just, you know, you've been in that place too long. You've been in that too, just a little bit too long. And a younger, because that's the one thing about the sport is it's going to be a younger, it's going to be a hungrier guy coming.
They're both
up.
The same age.
Yes, but there's going to be someone that hasn't experienced what you've experienced. The responsibilities that you've had to carry, and someone's just hungrier for that responsibility. Yeah. Well, they think they are for that responsibility.
But can I tell you something too, Kamaru?
Yeah,
she's like Khabib, dude. She's like She's like those Dagestanis.
I know that.
We have our free time. Like we've done some cool things.
No, I believe I've said like, that before to where I believe she was created for this. It's like the Ivan Drago of China. She was created.
They just eat, sleep, talk, fighting, bro. Like,
yes.
You know, like we don't, like, you know what I mean? I think this is why we get along. Like, we have a life. Once we're out fighting, whatever, like, we're normal again.
Speak for
yourself.
These
dudes. No, hell no. I know this dude. Inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
But these, like, you're her, right. she's just different, bro. And you're I don't know if too much of something could be not so good for you, but... Either way, if she has somewhat of that balance, then kudos to her.
There's okay, but you have to understand though. I get exactly what you're saying with Weili, just how she might be better in the every position, but that's because for Yan, it's gonna take somebody like this to really show it. I've seen her take down defense. Did you see her fight Mackenzie Dern?
Yeah.
And it was like Mackenzie couldn't buy a takedown. With her. She was able to stop all of them. Look at her. Did you see? She fought. Did she fight Jessica Andrade? And did she stopped Jessica Andrade, I believe. Didn't she?
Yeah, she did. I think she did beat her.
I mean.
Can you go back to her resume?
Yeah. I mean, Mackenzie Dern couldn't buy a takedown. You know. She stopped.
But also look at her two losses. Carla Esparza and Marina Rodriguez.
That was younger in her career. That was really like a lot can change in a year. A lot can change in 2 years. Look at that. She also split decision to Marina, and Marina is a killer too. You know who's also on the earlier on this card. So I love this fight. I think this is a coming out party for Yan. I think it's a coming out party. If she can stuff those takedowns, they're both elite strikers. These I would say they're two, both of them are top five elite strikers in the females in the UFC.
Yeah.
Top five, both of them. Elite strikers. Of course, you got your Rose Namajunas, you've got your Joanna.
Valentina.
Well, you had your Joanna and you got your Valentina, but
even
these
Alexa.
Ladies. Yeah, these ladies are elite
Amanda Lemos.
Strikers.
Yeah.
Elite strikers. Well, we move on to, you want to move on? Or you want to pick a fight? You want to pick one?
I'm going Zhang Weili, man, by whatever the hell she wants to do.
Wow.
And I think she's only getting better. And I think she's ready to become the second two division champion in UFC history, women's history in Zhang Weili. I do believe that she could do it.
Oh, you mean if she does move
up?
Okay.
Yeah, she needs to move up. Like, come on, man. Give her the opportunity. She's been asking, she's been begging for that fight with either Alexa or Valentina. But either way, I think it'll be good for the UFC.
I agree. I'm moving on to the main. First, I was going to say, scroll back down a little bit real quick. Like, are they drawing these abs in? Was my abs like this when they had my picture up? Are they drawing their abs in? Look at these. Okay, yeah, they definitely drawing them in. look at the main event.
No, hold on. Go to Calvin Gastelum, and then we'll know if they drew those motherfuckers in.
Or see mine. Was I looking like that? Look at that Chimaev, the breakdown with the Chimaev. Was I looking like that?
No, I saw you, man. Nah,
are drawing them in, because I think for me, they ain't really drawing them in. They just let them be natural because they, you know, they knew I was already coming with something. You know what I mean?
That's probably why he gave those compliments on our YouTube channel. Damn, he good, man. He hot. I want some of that. You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's move on to the main event. We've got Alex Pereira taking on Jamal Hill. Wow.
What chances do you give Jamal Hill?
What chances do I give Jamal Hill?
Yeah, do you see Jamal Hill? Do you see Jamal Hill? Because obviously he's an underdog.
Yeah, I think a big thing here is confidence. I think Jamal Hill, something happened, I believe, three or four fights ago. And Jamal Hill is not the most well-rounded fighter in the UFC. Let's be honest. And I don't think he might not be the most well-rounded guy in that division. But something happened four fights ago with Jamal Hill to where Jamal Hill believed in these. And Jamal Hill knew that. He knew that with these, I touch you with these, I'm putting you out. And so that's the thing with Jamal Hill. He's carrying that. And so he knows he can touch Alex Pereira and potentially put him out because Izzy has put him out. So I definitely give him a big chance with this because of his confidence. Like I said, this is not the most well-rounded fight that we're going to see. Both guys are going to stand. Both guys are going to bang. Alex Pereira, if he's able to use his leg kicks, I think it might be problematic for Jamal Hill. But Jamal Hill sees something in Alex Pereira. And we all see the same thing with Alex Pereira. He doesn't hold his hands the highest in that division. He can be hit. He can be hurt. And I believe Jamal Hill feels that he's going to be able to do it.
Yeah. I think Jamal Hill could beat him. But he needs to do it. He needs to do it early. Why? It's because of that leg kick. You know, luckily he's southpaw.
Yes.
Which will make it a little, which, you know, obviously Alex is very kick heavy with the right leg, but he also kicks with his lead leg too. I mean, either way, Jamal Hill, the probabilities of, because I watched the fight between him and Glover was able to kick his leg pretty decisively. And then there was the other fight that, there's a couple of other fighters, but he's able to be kicked even as a southpaw, and that's where he needs to be careful. So I think Jamal Hill, I'm a fan. Actually, I kind of do like those two tattoos on his chest too. There's something like, there's something cool. I'm cringing myself, dude. So I enjoy shit that's just different. Jamal Hill, I give you fucking 5 stars for that reason, man. I'm going
up,
for you.
You give him 2 thumbs
up? Hell yeah, dude. I like it, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I like him too.
I think the key to victory for him is he needs to go in there and really takes his straight punches are no joke. Jamal's straight punches and his athleticism of going out there and just, like you said before, Kamaru, his confidence of him going out there and going for a bug. You know what? I believe in these, mm-hmm. and I believe that. I wish he could carry on a little bit more of that wrestling because we saw in the past Pereira could get taken down by grapplers like he's been taken down by Israel Adesanya. He's been taken down by Yuri Prochazka. And these are guys that are not known for that. If Jamal Hill was able to add that, it would definitely change the fight. But I do believe when he says he's going to keep it on his feet. And if he's going to keep it on his feet, then he's going to have to really protect that lead leg. Be careful with that left hook. But really take your chances early. Because as you saw before, and you mentioned the two before, Kamaru, Israel Adesanya has already proven it. So for that reason, the keys to victory for a guy like Jamal Hill, him being the underdog, is going to be his straight punches, but also doing it extremely early. I'm not talking about like the first minute of round one.
Well, I like these fights. I think, but it's for me, still too early. Yeah, it's a week of the fight, but it's still too early for me to give my predictions. Let's see how I feel when I see the guys walk up. I see the guys sign their posters. Then I know somebody's been cutting a little too much weight. If they're shaky by the 10th, you know, by the 50th poster, if they're getting a little too shaky, then I know, you know, he might not be ready for the fight.
Damn.
You know, so let's I'm going to wait till early in the week before I can make my prediction. But this is it's an incredible fight. I still do feel, for selfish purposes, that Justin Gaethje probably should have been the main event. But
no, 100%. I agree.
This is an incredible fight. This is for the light heavyweight championship. This is both two champions fighting each other, you know, who didn't lose the belt. So, I mean, obviously, it makes sense. Makes sense for the UFC. I'm good with it. Makes sense for me. But I like Justin Gaethje.
Well, I tell you what, dude. UFC 300 is going to be a banger. Dana White,
yeah.
Sean Shelby, Mick Maynard, everybody has put on a great event. I mean, from the first fight of having Deviceon Figueiredo versus Cody Garbin to the BMF to, you know what I mean, to Holly Holmes versus Kayla Harrison. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, this card is absolutely flooded. The only thing I got to say, Kamaru, is get your damn pay-per-view. And we're not even getting any points for this, but you guys make sure to watch the damn fight.
Absolutely.
So you guys just watched another episode of Pound for Pound. I'm your co-host, Henry Sudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
You see that little thing? Come on.
Damn, what's up?
Yeah.
We out.
Yeah, we out.